Galatians chapter 5, go to page 1155. He starts out with verse 16, telling us, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Chapter 5, verse 16. Let me say it again. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." It's quite clear. Paul is saying, listen, we don't want those who claim to be Christians and are not. Those who are Christians, what do? They walk by the Spirit. They live by the Spirit. They are not slaves gratifying, serving the sinful flesh, pleasing it, doing its desires. No. In fact, verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." And so Paul in the first chapters of Galatians has told us that we have been set free. Christ has fulfilled the law. In other words, the law is not our master. It's not the one that we go, well, why are we doing this? Oh, it's the law, the law, the law. We go, no. We've been set free. What we're doing, you might say, is not a have you, do you have to do this? No, I get to do this. I've been set free. In order that he might teach us that distinction, he lists for us the sinful nature and the stuff that the sinful nature does. And those who are wanting to, I guess as he said, gratify the sinful nature, they'll do these sinful acts, as he lists here in verse 19 and 20 and 21. However, those who have been set free and have been given the Spirit of God, he lists the fruit of the Spirit and says these are the things that are to characterize those who are belonging to Christ. End of verse 23 is where I'll start for today. "Against such things there is no law." Verse 24. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from that Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." This is God's word. On your handout sheet, last week, we began with 5 verse 26. "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And we saw about the person who was vainglorious. Another word for that would be conceited, caught up in themselves, thinking that they were, as Paul would say later, thinking that they were something when they are nothing. And so as Paul goes on, he illustrates for us how we are to be as those who are believers, First of all, he says, your being a believer is not so you can lord it over. It's not so that there can be provoking of one another or an envying of the praise that someone else gets, and I want that praise and I'm better than you are and this. No, no, no. He goes on to say, this being a believer, what you have been given, involves using it for the benefit of another. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you're supposed to restore him. How do you do this? Well, because you're in the same situation that that man is in, what you have has been given from God, you do it in a spirit of gentleness or meekness, because you also don't want to fall into this. As it said here, someone who is caught. Yeah. This is a brother. This is a believer. He doesn't know it. He needs help. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We use it that we might, whatever gifts we've been given, we use that to serve someone else. So I've been given this, you've been given this, let me use my gift to help you. And so as I help you, I love my neighbor. The law of Christ is none other than the love one another. So I use it in love. He returns talking about the person who thinks himself to be something, and by thinks himself to be something not being given by God of himself. Ah, I'm great. Not realizing that everything he has been given by God and that God is keeping him in the faith and God is providing. If that's the case, he says, no. What do? We are ones who examine ourselves. We want to examine our work. That's what believers do. We look at ourselves, and how do we do that? Well, we examine it not based upon, well, I'm better than you, or I'm in comparison. We do it based upon what God has given us and our own vocation, where God has placed us and what we are to do. It would be very unfair for me to say, well, I preach a whole lot better than Keith. Well, Keith doesn't have the pastoral office and doesn't preach at all. Should I compare myself to another pastor or, you know, who has different gifts or is, no, what do? We examine our own work, and when we examine our own work, we see that the Lord has provided, and we also see where God has placed us as a father, a mother, son, daughter, husband, whatever. And in this way, when he talks about rejoicing in himself, and that was the big point that I kind of was driving to last time, was what is this rejoicing in yourself? Have we gone back full circle to the kind of boasting? No. To rejoice in yourself is to have a good conscience, a conscience that says, you know, the Lord has given me this, and I am doing what the Lord has given me to do. I don't do it based upon how much you praise me. I don't do it based upon how much I get done or in comparison to others. That being said, it doesn't mean, as he says here, of rejoicing but not in another. That's the comparison he was talking about. I kept saying, we're in the realm of sanctification. We're in the realm of... Paul is not saying that we are going to look at ourselves and say that we're perfect. Absolutely not. The only way that I'm before God in my justification is because even my good works are filthy rags. And so I rely upon God in all things. And at the end of the day, I go, oh, I'm a rotten sinner. Lord, forgive me. Nevertheless, as it relates to other people, yes, in this world, I want to be doing what I've been given to do. I want to be able to say, you know, I wrote a sermon and I didn't put any false doctrine in it. Everything that's there, as far as I know, it's good. Now, if it's shown not to be, well, then I'm going to repent of that. But I want to go about what the Lord has given me to do. So this is that conscience. As it goes on in this way, each one bears his own load. That's the connection for Paul. So that's a summary of last week. Mary?
I've always noticed that in practically the same breath, it says bear your own loads and share each other's burdens. So
right.
Are we being told that we give charity meaning love, and that we should also receive it? Because, you know, situations change where you're bearing a lot of things, and then sometimes, all of a sudden, you're not. And that we need to learn to accept from others. the same love we were willing to give.
I think that is true, in which there are times in which I'm going to say, yes, I've been given gifts and I am to serve someone else. There are times in which others have been given gifts and I need to receive what they have been given. There's a sense in which we, you might say, maybe even don't allow or refuse others to love us.
Yes.
And to do that. And that is. I don't think that that's what this particular passage is saying. When it is talking about bear one another's burden, this is talking about the love you serve to others. When here it's talking about bearing his own load, it's simply talking about when we're talking about before our good conscience before God, we don't do it based upon a comparison with one another. That's simply the thing that it's getting at. Pastor?
Well, I think it's interesting because in verse 1 of this chapter, there's an interesting chi, the second word in Greek. Brothers, if and any man is caught. And I think probably rather than someone, it probably should be if anyone is caught in a sin. Because who, remember now Paul is talking to people in the church, who in the church is not going to be caught in a sin?
No one.
Because the church is full of what?
Sinners.
So who's Paul talking to here? He's talking to all these people. And so when he gets to the end, when he starts talking about carrying your own load, who's responsible for my sin?
You are.
I am. You see, I can't go and say, well, so-and-so made me mad at that church meeting, and I'm not going to talk to them anymore. Because can anybody make you mad?
Only,
why not?
Only if you choose to.
You choose to be mad, don't you? So when it comes to sin, we're always, and Jesus makes several references to this, we're always busy looking for somebody else's sins and spend very little time looking at our own. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. Don't pay too much attention to anybody else's sins other than to call them back. Watch out for your own.
On the back of your page, if you turn it over, and, well, this is going to be the kind of the question. Should I have... I had the same thing with verse 26 at the end of chapter 5. Should I have printed verse 6 at the bottom of that last page, or does it go at the top of this page, becomes the question. And so as I read it in the NIV Bible that we had, it takes verse 6 and makes it its own paragraph. If you happen to look at your Bible, I'm going to call them wimps, you know, because they didn't actually decide whether it goes with what comes before or what becomes after. They simply said, well, we'll make it its own paragraph, and then you decide which way it goes. We'll see if that holds correctly. As we push on today, Galatians 6, verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. The verb in this is let him share. Let him share. So that's what Paul is getting at. He's talking about a sharing. There are two people that are listed in this, and there is a subject that is listed. It says, first of all, him who is taught. Him who is taught. That is one person. I would say probably this one. Him who teaches. That would be the other person. Let him who is taught, and what is he taught? He is taught the Word. Kind of simple, but, you know, people confuse things in so many different ways. If we're going to talk about church, we have him who teaches, and what does he teach? The Word of God. And then there is those who receive the Word of God, him who is taught. So the teaching of the Word to him who is taught. That's a description of the church. Paul doesn't give a description that says the church is made up of everybody serving. The church is people that are loving. He doesn't say the church is those who do certain good works made up of certain holiness. He describes the one who teaches and the one who is taught and the word that goes between them. And he says concerning them, let them share in all good things. Well, there's already the word and that going on. What about this exhortation telling them to do some sharing? What is this about? Tony?
Well, first of all, I think it puts a responsibility on us that are being taught, because too often I think that's only your responsibility. See, so, but he says we're to share with the teacher what we're good things that we're being taught. That's what we do here.
Ah, okay. What's going on maybe in Bible class? Good. What else?
Well, I think one of the reasons why they have such a hard time figuring out whether this goes with the first part or the second part is because it doesn't actually go with either part. It's a thought on its own. Because in 6, verse 1, what does Paul say? Brethren, if any man is overtaken in a trespass, basically, and he will be, because we're all sinners, then you have that thought, and each man will bear his own load. And then Paul has this little interjection in there, let him who is taught. Taught about what? Being a sinner, and being a forgiven sinner, and a forgiving sinner. He's really saying here, if your pastor points out your sins to you, don't get mad at him.
What do you do then?
Share with him.
Give him your sins.
Yep.
Brian, then.
I think he's clearly saying the one who teaches, this is his vocation. This isn't us talking to our neighbor or sharing the word of God or the gospel with those around us. He's saying this is a vocation, and you need to support that person in that vocation. The church does.
Okay. I think absolutely Greek-wise, that term is actually a term of him who teaches. It's not just kind of a generic anybody teaching, but it's actually used in other places. And exactly, just like you said, someone who has been given a vocation. If I tie that back in, if Paul has got done saying about bearing your own burden, which is your vocation, Brian says, okay, here's one of the vocations, a vocation of a hearer. Here is a vocation of a teacher, which is exactly what Luther does in the Small Catechism. Let's talk about the one who is the pastor. Let's talk about the one who hears. What do the teachers, what do the hearer owe their teachers? What do the pastors owe their... And so going through and saying, okay, this is another example of go about your vocation. Tony's already said, there are passages, and this is true, there are passages in which it says, pretty well, pastor, and talking kind of to him. And again, this one appears to be putting the onus upon the one who is being taught. Yes, there is a right for the pastor to preach the word, But that also implies then a duty for the one who hears, to be here, as Tony said, to receive this, to listen to that thing. I'm going to go to Mark, and I got a couple others. Let me also comment, though, as Pastor Haroon mentioned, he says, well, maybe this one is, the technical term is paranetic. We might think parenthetic. One of those in which, you know, Paul's talking about this. Oh, by the way, he sticks this in, and then he goes in to talk about, you know, the same thing or something else. It's kind of a parenthesis, loosely related, but not exactly going with that which came before, that which came after.
The but there's a dead giveaway.
Can we see? Mark, and then I think I have like Karen and Karn.
Sister, just got to reiterate what Brian said, that this is a third case of, you know, we're being told to support the people who are supporting us. The pastor supports us in our Christian life by giving us the word, forgiving us our sins, all that. But, and we have a duty, as it says up there, to return that to him by helping him, by giving whatever we have that's good, whether that be physical things, you know, food, money, clothing, whatever, but other support as well, which might include, hey, listen to your problems instead of you listen to ours.
Nice. Very nice. Mary?
Just that the translations, again, get me mess up my head. The first one says, share in all good things. The second one says, share all good things. And the... says communicate to, communicate unto in the teaching. So it sounds to me that those aren't all the same thing. Because if you share in, you're wanting to participate with your teacher. If you're sharing all good things with him, you're wanting to tell him something. And the communicate is obvious what that means, tell him something. I'm not sure. Tell us what the Greek...
Very good. And this is why I provide this. And again, sometimes it may kind of go over your head, and sometimes you may go, it's Greek to me, you know. But I think that there are times in which it does help to illustrate, because sometimes I say, oh, that's pretty important. And other times I go, well, it's not quite that important. Sometimes the verb itself, in order to bring it into English, you have to add a word. So you have to say not just share, but share in. And sometimes you have to do that. What's interesting with this one, where it says, let him share, the in actually goes with in all things. And so there actually is a word for the in that goes with it. That there might be a sharing in this. And so you would say, with this verb, there is always two things. Well, there are two things and then the thing itself. If it happens to be passive, there's one thing in the thing itself. So you share with someone in something. That's the way this works when it's a passive. You have another, Mary, that is going to get you a little bit. This word, it's not exactly the koinonia, which is the word for communion. And when we say communion, I'm not simply talking Lord's Supper, but that's where it is applied. Communion is a sharing. When Paul says, do you not realize that there's a communion between the body and the bread? Means there's a sharing, a communion that goes together. When you get that word communicate, it's not simply saying, tell somebody. It is, that commune means there's a togetherness that goes together with it. So this communing in all good things, communicate, means a togetherness. So you're right. Sometimes this is a little, how do you put this all together?
We need a pastor.
You do. Absolutely. Now, that will lead me then to my next point. And my next point, you know, Mark says, listen, this includes, obviously, I want to be hearing the word. And yes, I do want to offer support. Sometimes you're right. That may be a material support. of a salary, of a how, you know, that kind of thing. Why? Mary says, wait a minute, I need a pastor. When she says, I need a pastor, she means what? I need someone who can understand this. So he's got to be trained. I need someone who spent some time this week reading through this so they can explain it to me, who is apt to teach. If the man who is doing the teaching has a vocation that is outside of that and he's doing it, he can't devote his time to doing that very thing. We say, no, that's important. And so you begin to see as well this. So by this sharing of these, and you know, Mark said on one hand, sharing of this salary, this kind of thing, it allows him to do his job. And Paul will talk about that in other places. Mark also mentioned, he says, you know, there may be some other things that go with this as well. And it may be emotional support. It may be coming and supporting by hearing the word and those kind of things. Let me get Karen. I got Pastor, and then I've got in the back. Go, Patty.
I was just going to mention that in the catechism, it's under what the hearers owe their pastors. This is the verse that they talk about. So I've always, I think Mike hit it on the head. It's coming. I mean, if you just let a service and nobody showed up,
you haven't ever been to Bible studies where it's like that, have you? Or at least you suspected?
Oh, absolutely. I've been to places where the pastor...
So tell me, where are we today? Oh, we're on, you know, we got verse 4 last time. Oh, okay. Verse 5 then. And you kind of go, ooh, this is going to be interesting, right? Doesn't know what verse we're on, is not prepared. You know what my mother describes Bible studies that she was not, she called them the I think Bible studies. And she really got tired of that. So here's this. So what do you think? Well, I think that it means, and then someone else said, well, I think it means, and after you had about 6 I think, she said, okay, let's go on to the next verse. Pastor?
Somebody else would have.
Patty?
Okay, I think.
Thanks, Patty. Okay.
What I'm kind of interpreting from verse 6, let him who is taught the word... the word share is sticking out to me. Share in all good things with him who teaches. So I'm taking that as meaning that the things that we're being taught, then we should be sharing along with the teacher. Is this not correct?
Well, and I think that's why... All right, let me push.
Let me make my comment before you go.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead.
When we have this, it really doesn't show up in the English Bibles. But this koinonia word, this walking together word, this fellowshipping word, is wrapped up in the taught. Let him who is taught in this translation, the word. Now, that's talking about faith. Let him who is taught the word. And when one is taught the word, the baptized are taught the word in faith, and they walk together in faith, and that's koinonia, this fellowship. So when we receive, as the NIV says, instruction in the word, fellowship in the word with one another, that is the teacher and those being taught, what do? They're walking together. And as they walk together, they share all good things. Now, there's a teacher and there's a hearer. And I'm afraid that in our society, we're tempted to say, well, this is talking about we need to pay our pastor. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. because we need to share the word with our pastor, not in the sense of teaching, but in the sense of practice. Love one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And when we do that, the congregation and the pastor walk together. Now, oftentimes in our former fellowship, this was a thing that didn't happen. Because the congregation went some way, whichever way they wanted, and the pastor, well, hopefully, he would be trying to lead them back, and they were just blowing him off. But then there was also cases where the pastor just blew off the congregation and went his own way. So now, with that in mind, when we understand that this is not talking about money, it's talking about our life together, I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Henson because I think that's where he was going.
I put up on the board three things as it speaks about this, this sharing in all good things. One, that is churches to provide for their pastors. There are times in which Paul speaks of this. 1 Corinthians 9 is a very explicit passage. We may take some time and take a look at that and see where he speaks about that very thing. The Lord himself says, yes, just as pastors are, you don't muzzle the ox treading out the grain, so also he deserves his wages and speaks of those things. Or as Karin mentioned in the catechism, it happens to be the very passage that is used for that. Number two, the one who hears ought to also then partake, participate. You know, I can use the words communion, fellowship, all of that kind of thing in the good teaching. To communicate, to commune would be to partake, to come and be a part of. And so you partake of the good teaching of the word along with that which is the teacher. These sometimes are put one against the other. No, it's not this one, but it's this one or the other. It does appear that both of these are included. I will say, as number three talks about both the material kind of providing, but also then spiritual, the thing with this particular verse, and I'm going to say to understand it, is if I take out the verb, which is there, I'm left with him who teaches and the word and him who is taught. And I would say, I already have the pastor who is rich in the word and the hearer who is poor in the word and the one giving the word to the other. And you kind of say, well, of course that's it. That's what's going on. But when he adds this verb of let him share, there's got to be something more added to the sentence besides the pastor preaching the word and the person receiving it. Of course that needs to happen. But there needs to be let the one who is here share. There is something going back towards the preacher, which would include not only the provisions for the office itself, but the rejoicing in the receiving of what is being given, so that both of these come together in this.
Well, I think it's similar to you. We don't separate faith and good works; they go together. One flows out of the other, and so as we hear the word of God, the automatic response is to rejoice in it, to take opportunity to hear it as much as you can, to be in fellowship with one another, to support the pastor, and I think that also includes then supporting him with our goods. And it all just flows together, and I think it wraps it up in all good things. It's not just one or two things. It flows out. It's not like you would say, oh, I just want to hear God's word, but I'm not going to support the pastor's office with money or anything like that. Well, of course you would if you're rejoicing in it.
Brian?
This may be completely irrelevant, but I don't know how many times in my life I've heard somebody say, well, our church teaches that, but I don't believe it. And that's hitting me here that, you know, when we say we share, like Pastor Arun said, we're walking in fellowship. I do believe and hold on and confess what I've been taught. I don't go, man, I don't really think you got that. And I hear that all the time.
Yeah, let me present to you the Apostles' Creed. And you go, oh, well, I don't share in that. What? Right, like you all of a sudden you would say, wait a minute.
I've heard that with Lord's Supper. Your church doesn't believe that's the body and blood. Yeah, but I don't believe that. I think it is. Well, you know, that just dumbfounds me.
So why are they even there?
Yeah, exactly.
So there is a communion. There is a sharing. There is a fellowship. There is that which goes with this. If you take a look at Philippians 4, I do want to just show you where Paul actually uses this sharing more than just in material support of the pastoral office. Page 1164, Philippians 4:14. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. So he uses that term in a couple of different ways. First of all, you shared in my troubles. Oh, I mean, that obviously implies more than just this material, but something else. And then he talks about how you shared in the giving and receiving. The receiving of the word and the giving to support that. You know, that's my pastor. If I say, oh yes, I want to come to my house because there I get three meals a day and I get this and I get this, and you kind of go, well, do you support your wife and family? Oh no. No, I just want to get. Well, whoa, there's a giving and receiving. There is, otherwise there's no fellowship. There's no communing if it's simply a matter of reception. So this becomes put together, and teaches that. Oh, I was going.
Also, I think that the good things here. I think you. Oftentimes we read this word and we think, well, now what's a good thing? Well, probably the better way to use this word would be to think of holy things. In other words, things that each one of us, whether we're pastor or layperson, need. We share those holy things, and for the pastor, he's sharing word and sacrament. So what then is the layperson sharing? Well, certainly love and faith. At the bare minimum, that's what Paul is saying. And so, good things, well, yeah, I could give Pastor Henson a pocket knife and say, well, this is really a wonderful pocket knife. It's a good thing. But that's not really what this is talking about, is it? Yeah, go ahead.
This passage, as it relates to what's come before us, we have a whole letter to the book of Galatians. Right? We have the book of Galatians, a whole letter to the Galatian church. Brian, I think, has done a good job of kind of going back to, if this is vocational, Paul has just got done talking about vocation. And he's just got done talking about what it means to be a Christian. Bearing with one another. You look at your own vocation. This then becomes not only a pastoral vocation, but the vocation of that who is a hearer and how it is done. What's fascinating with this is that some have said, well, Paul can't be talking about supporting the pastor because Paul never received any monetary help from the congregations that he worked with. He didn't take a salary.
Philippians 4 proves that's a lie.
Well, and Paul said, you know, by and large, I didn't. But, I mean, you kind of look at this, and they have said, well, this would be out of place for Paul to say something like this because he just got done with all these false teachers. And so they were probably wanting a salary. And so here, all of a sudden, Paul, I think this fits perfectly. I think it is not out of line. I don't think Paul spends a whole lot of time on it, but he does say this fits in with what goes on. And so it's not only a support of that which is the pastor office, which is right, but he's putting that into the bigger context of, if you have these vainglorious false teachers, do you want to be sharing with them in what? He's already given you a list. And he says, that envy and in provoking and in doing that, that's what you would be sharing. No, you're to be sharing in, and he's going to talk about the peace and the joy and the love and this kind of thing. He's putting this into that context in which those who are teaching that which is good, you need to be sharing in that, partaking of it, as well as supporting that. And so he puts it together. Is it, you know, parenthetic? Well, yeah, kind of, in that it is an elaboration. There is, you don't see it in this one, there's a Greek day that connects it with that which went goes before, but it doesn't necessarily make it an exact continuing the line of thought. It's giving much more. When you go on, you say, well, will this work in pushing forward to what's the next section? I said, if you're going to have another paragraph, what comes after this? Running out of time, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We had a deception verse already. What did it say? It wasn't that long ago. Verse 3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, what happens?
He deceives himself.
Who's Paul talking about? False teachers. Here's another deception verse. Who's he talking about?
The ones taught by the false teachers.
Yeah. It's not the false teachers. Now, before he says, those guys who are conceited, they're nothing. Now he's saying, you, what? Don't be deceived. He's talking to those who have received.
See, that's one of those tricky passages.
It is a passive, exactly. And so he's saying, don't be deceived. Whoa, now I'm worrying about myself. Or if you're a Galatian, you know, you're going, oh, what's going on? I think, you know, and I'm going to put it right back to, you know, Brian's thing. When someone says, oh, yeah, those false teachers, they were saying that stuff, but I wasn't buying it. Paul says, whoa, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. If you were receiving, you were sharing. You were in it. Let me give you this, and then we'll kind of wrap things up. God is not mocked. Mary, here's an easy one, which I think you're going to like. Mukteritzetai. God is not mocked. The word for mukteris is a mukteris. This is the verb. Mukteris is the snout, the nose. This verb, God, you can't turn your nose up at God. Mocking God. What do? Turn your nose. What is it if you turn your nose up at something?
I'm
better than that. That doesn't apply to me. Paul says, what can happen here? You need to be careful that you are not being deceived, because, you know, you may think you can fool others, but if you are turning your nose up at God, you know, God knows, and you won't get away with it. And so he is returning back to, be careful that you don't become the conceited one, that you don't become the vainglorious, that you, having shared, don't become like this. Because then he's going on to say, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And that's where we're going to go for next time. Any questions up to here? Karen, did you have something you wanted to add? Anyone else? amount of time. We'll bump back into this and also then see how it relates to that verse 6, which we finished up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have provided one who teaches with that word, the all-sufficient word, the one that shows us our sins and promises us a salvation and gives us peace and joy. We ask that we might share in all good things with our instructor, and that by means of this study that you might lead us from our own vainglorious conceit to one who, trusting in our Savior, goes about our vocation and is active in love towards our neighbor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.